Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Robin Lundberg Show.
You want a little insight into my personality? My existence is really a constant battle between extreme confidence and deep-set insecurity.
Hey, thanks for letting me in. You got a good show going, man.
I'm here and ready to strike.
Robin, I gotta tell you, I've only been listening for about a month now, but I do love the show.
I wanna make sure I get all of your guys' opinions in before we get out of here, because you're as big a part. Well, actually, let me take that. That was today. You're a big part of the show. I was gonna say you're as big a part of the show as I am. I'll give you 40%. 60% me, 40% you. But it wouldn't exist without you.
The Robin Lundberg Show is on the air.
And it's coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. I want to get into something Draymond Green is doing with Senator Chris Murphy, because I think it's interesting and also important that we draw a distinction between professional sports and college sports, particularly in this moment in time. But some of you on the line, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Let's go to Jesse in Dallas. Jesse, you're up next here on CBS.
Yes, sir. How you doing, sir? Well, first, I want to say great show, bro. You've been doing an awesome job, bro. I've been listening to you for about a month, maybe. I want to comment on that Tom Brady issue. Yeah, Tom Brady has a point, because my cousin is a nurse, and she said that everyone that's dying in the medical field right now, they're saying COVID-19, because they get 32,000 a person. So them numbers are outrageous, bro. I live in Dallas, bro. And then you go to any hospital, it's not packed like the way America's thinking, bro.
Well, I mean, I think it depends on the hospital and where you're at. I mean, you can't ignore the fact that some hospitals are over capacity, and that the reason we locked down in the first place was to keep some hospitals from being over capacity. But it depends on the region you're at, where you're at. Obviously, I only try to deal with the facts, Jesse, and the facts of the matter are there are a number of cases here. They're growing. There are record numbers in Florida. The United States lags behind the rest of the world when it comes to how we've handled this, just by the data. However, even when you're presenting the raw numbers, the number of cases, the tragic number of deaths, within those numbers, you have a lot of infected people who have been asymptomatic or have not been hospitalized will be okay. And for the majority of young, healthy people, they will be okay. They have to worry about spreading it to more vulnerable people. But those are just the facts. I try to deal with the facts as they are, and that's why I think we can't totally live in fear forever of this thing. But you also want to proceed wisely, because you don't want to spread it to people who are more vulnerable. You don't want to overload hospital systems. You don't want to get an entire group of people sick at the same time. There's a lot of things you have to take into consideration.
Yes, sir. And I want to speak about the Bubba Wallace thing. Well, everybody knows, man, you know, they had to change the NASCAR because of one black person joining NASCAR. I mean, everybody knows this. It's racial in this country. If I drive to Florida every year, and when we go to Mississippi, there's Confederate flags everywhere. I mean, that's not a secret, bro. I mean, if you just drive by the state, you will see all them. beautiful neighborhoods, but guess what? They got Confederate flags. But, you know, I mean, I just feel like, you know, I mean, it was about time NASCAR did something.
Oh, yeah. Look, I'm not giving them – I'm not saying, like, it was an amazing thing that they did get rid of the Confederate flag. That shouldn't have been even considered, acceptable in society for you know, centuries, basically. I do commend them for at least being strong in their stance and then following up with their support for Bubba Wallace. And I appreciate the call, man. Following up with their support for Bubba Wallace. And NASCAR isn't the first place I would have thought would have taken quite the strong stance that they did. And I think they did win over some people as a result. I mean, like, look, no one who is not a NASCAR fan is all of a sudden the number one NASCAR fan in the world. But there may be more people who have a positive perception of NASCAR that didn't before. And like I said about the Confederate flag, I think it's emblematic of where we are as a society that in 2020, that was still something that had to be addressed. But at least they did address it, and to quote a long-standing, you know, quote that's been out there, there's never the wrong time to do the right thing. Ty in Dallas. Ty, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Ty?
Hi, what's going on? I just want to commend you for doing a great job. I want to commend the United States for doing a good job for speaking out. I just want to talk a little bit about the hyposensitiveness when it comes to racism. You know, racism is something that is taught. And I just want everybody to think about that, and instead of always just pointing a finger and say, oh, you're racist. You know, sometimes you could be hyposensitive to racism and not really realize that you're being hyposensitive. I remember when I was growing up, I used to watch the Dukes of Hazzard. And what was on the Dukes of Hazzard's car? That same emblem. Well, when you're watching that and as a kid, you don't know what it stands for, but you're watching a good show. You're looking at a car that's flying through the air. You're looking at Bo and Luke Duke. And I say that because I want us to know that we, as a country, we have a good country. We have good Americans. And it's time for us to try to deflate from being hypersensitive to racism. In Dallas, we just had this week a big community event with Mark Cuban, Deion Sanders, Josh Norman. And we all talked about a lot of things in reference to racism. And one of the things that we found out is, that there's a different mindset when it comes to racism. You know, black people think about racism differently than white people. And if you've never been injected to it, you might be insensitive to how a person feels. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're racist. For instance, like the Colin Kaepernick situation, the whole light to him taking a knee was to show respect. And it was a soldier asked him to take a knee. And then it was brought out that he was taking a knee because even though a lot of white people, they say, well, my dad fought for this country, my grandfather fought for this country, where there was also African-Americans that fought for this country. But when they joined the war, they were fighting for the same freedoms and the same opportunities as other people. And I think that got distorted with the knee kneeling. When you knee, it's a sign of respect. When you knee, when you get ready to get married, what do? You get on your knee. When you get ready to pray to God, what do? You get on your knee. So I think we got distorted with some of the actions that took place, and I think it's important that we don't always get so hyposensitive to racism.
Well, I mean, I think we should reject racism, right? I mean, that's absolutely clear and obvious. But I also believe, and I've been saying this on this show, I'm open to points of view that are brought to the table in good faith. I'm open. I don't want to live in my bubble. I don't need my opinion to be echoed. I'm open to differences of opinion. I'm open to healthy dialogue and discourse. I'm open to uncomfortable conversations even. I just ask that people come to the table in good faith. And what I try to do is reject the bad faith actors. And I think I'm pretty good at getting a sense when they're coming with a bad faith argument. When, like you said, all right, maybe there were people who initially misunderstood the kneeling and felt a certain way emotionally. But the people who are still holding on to that now, having seen what we've seen, I think they're probably telling on themselves a little bit. If that's still the point that they want to raise at this very point in time, because they can't see beyond their worldview, or there's something else they're using that to you know, as a shield from, you know, there's another feeling that they want to express, but that instead it's easier for them to package it that way because they think people will receive it. And some of the, you know, callers we've had before who are, you know, besmirching an entire group of people off of one voice or whatnot, or, you know, like, we all know, you sense it, your spider sense tingles when that bad faith argument comes to the table. And that's all I'm against.
Absolutely.
Is the bad faith arguments, the real healthy dialogue and discussion. I welcome it.
Yes.
And I appreciate the call, Ty. Let's go to Brian in Georgia. Brian, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on?
How are you doing, Brian?
Oh, I'm doing great. I was just listening to a lot of your callers, and the last caller sounded like a very reasonable man. But what I wanted to say is there was a lot of flags in the Confederate War, right? What do you even know the name of what you call the Confederate flag? I don't understand how you can call it a name that all flags represent.
What did the Confederacy fight for?
The Confederate flag. Do you know the name?
Does it matter what the name is? What did the Confederacy fight for?
So what I'm saying is you're calling it something. You're making general. It was the battle flag. It's called the battle flag.
Are you talking about stars and bars? Or are you talking about the Dixie flag, the Southern Cross? I mean, there's all sorts of different things people might call it.
In the book.
The rebel flag?
What you call the rebel flag, anyone can have a name for it. But the actual name is the battle flag. All flags are in the Confederate War are Confederate flags. Okay, but I understand.
What did the Confederacy fight for? What was the battle for? What was the battle for?
The battle was when they were in states then, for 13 colonies.
Were they fighting to keep slavery or not?
Were they fighting? They were fighting for the way of life that was.
Was one of those way of life things that they were fighting for to keep slavery?
Yeah, sure was. But
full stop. Isn't that enough to say we should condemn it then?
Yeah. Okay. If you look at the flag now, the Georgia state flag right now, it almost is identical to what Georgia flew back then as state flag. The state flag, not the battle flag. The battle flag was.
Mississippi state flag changed right now.
I understand that, but that's its history. But that needs to
hear. So what is history?
Yeah. If I fly the flag, it's not in hate. If someone sees it in hate, then they're wrong.
My man, what did I just tell you? I just told you that they fought to keep slavery. So in and of itself, think about that. People were treated as property, not human beings.
I understand. Now you're arguing slavery. I'm not arguing slavery.
Defending the Confederate flag, you are, in fact, arguing slavery. Because that's one of the things it stood for.
How about this? Now you take the word. Do you think the N word is a bad word,
dude? You're playing games. You're playing games.
No.
I know what you're trying to do. You're playing games because you're going to say, "Oh, well, they use it or whatnot." First of all, that's not your place. Second of all, this is the problem, right here. When you say, "I fly it," I don't fly it out of hate. Do you know what it represents to other people? Do you know? I know you do. Do you know what it represents to other people?
To everybody?
How they receive it. Do you know how they receive it?
Yes. For most
okay,
part,
then
yes.
You are flying it out of hate because you know how they receive it. You know.
Okay. So you're telling me now that everything that's perceived a different way. So if I see, let's say, the N-word. If you're getting rid of a flag, that's history. But yeah, I can listen to the radio and hear N-words, and I hang around a lot of black folk now. Okay, so when I go around there, I hear it 50 times a day, and they need to get rid of the songs then.
How are those two things related at all? Those two things have to do with it? One is a piece of language that is being used, and look, there is a. I am not the person to have it, but there is a scholarly debate to be had around that word, right? And some people would tell you that they have taken it and made it their own, and that is the way that it is being used in pop culture now versus the way it was used as a hateful racial slur. There are going to be people who have a difference of opinion. I'm sure there are plenty of black people out there that never want to hear that word used in any forum, while there are plenty of black people who use that word as a friendly greeting for one another because they say they flipped it and used it to give themselves the power over that word. But that has nothing to do with the Confederate flag, which was, first of all, against the United States. The Confederacy fought against the United States. Secondly, they lost. And third, they also were fighting to uphold slavery, which is about much more than a word, which is about treating human beings as property and building the country with no repayment and then setting them back for centuries. So sorry, dude. No. And I would say, you know, like, I don't even know what else to say. And, you know, thank everybody for the call, but don't do that. Understand what you're saying. Like, yes, people can perceive certain things a different way. And I don't think, again, I'm not that guy. So you're coming at the wrong one. I'm not that guy that thinks everybody needs to apologize for everything. I'm not that guy that thinks every mistake means people should be canceled. I'm not that guy. I'm not Mr. Sensitive. I can take somebody saying something I disagree with. I can take a difference of opinion. I can take even an opinion that offends me. I can take it. I'm just going to call it for what it is. But what you can't do is ignore the facts. And the facts of the matter are what that Confederate flag stands for and represents. And it is a symbol of that. So you can say it's history, you can say what it represents to you, but you know how people perceive it, and they perceive it not because they're looking for a problem, not because they're hypersensitive, but because of what it actually represents. By the historical record. And if it's so hard for you to get rid of, why? Ask yourself why. What are you upholding? My mom's from Mississippi. I've been to Mississippi plenty of times. I used to go every year when I was a kid. She's from Vicksburg, Mississippi. They fought battles there. There's parks there. I used to run in them. I lived in Lusby, Maryland, Southern Maryland. I heard that word that you referenced. I heard it a lot used in a way that nobody wants to hear it used. I've been around that stuff. I know where it comes from. I know what it's about. You know, if people say, you know, some of this stuff, this history, yeah, it's history, but we also have to deal with the realities of the history, what that history represents. And maybe we should approach some of our history a little differently rather than, you know, the romanticized versions of it all. I mean, I think you see people taking a look at that. They see the faces on their dollar bills and they go, okay, yeah, this is somebody I learned about in history books, but is this really a good representation of what we want to be? I mean, these are conversations you can have that are uncomfortable, but to ignore what that flag represents by the matter of historical record because you want to prove some point to yourself, what are you getting at? What are you upholding? What are you gaining? Why is it hard for you? Just to let it go. Why is that hard for you? You know how, you know what it represents. You already said it. I don't know, man. I don't know. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. I said I wanted to draw a distinction between college and sports, college sports and pro sports. I'll do that coming up. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah. Sure.
He's not just another pretty face. No, really, he's not. Here's Robin Lundberg.
Robin Lundberg Show, CBS Sports Radio. I'm going to get to you guys on the line, so hang on, please. I just want to make sure I touched on something I teased, and I don't want to be guilty of a cardinal sin in this business and not paying off the tease. Draymond Green and Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut, they've come out and said that college sports should not return to business as usual. And I think the message there is an important one because in this current time, I do draw a distinction between professional sports and college sports and how I think about it. I want sports back. I think sports should return. I think we have to live our lives. I think they need to proceed wisely and not recklessly. I applaud the NBA's plan. It seems well thought out, and there's some leadership involved there. We'll see how baseball's works, and then the NFL, we've yet to see their full plan. They've been kind of business as usual this whole time. But nevertheless, in these sports, you're talking about highly paid professionals. I mean, we saw baseball arguing over their pay, right? And there is, you know, a degree of risk they may be undertaking, which is unfortunate, but there's a degree of risk we're all living with right now. But in order to do their job, they're making a determination whether they want to return. And the NBA is giving their players the choice, which I think is the right thing to do. And ultimately, you know, these guys are getting paid for their services. So any of the economic benefits to the leagues are also having economic benefits to the players. The same is not true for college sports, right? And we've had this discussion about college sports. Plenty of people have had it for a long time now, and I think people are starting to come closer and closer to the full realization that the way we've known them is not appropriate and is a broken model and a broken system that needs to be adjusted and changed and fixed, if not completely overhauled or thrown out. And I think never is that more important than right now, because you see Alabama, for instance, the state of Alabama would lose like $200 million if Alabama doesn't play football. And I don't want the state's economy to suffer. I don't want people to suffer, but the people who are taking on all the risk there in providing that stimulus to the economy are not being paid. Nick Saban will be paid a lot. The players will not be paid. So I do think there should be a distinction in how we treat college sports versus how we treat pro sports in this moment. And I don't want to take away an individual choice either. I mean, like if I was a college kid, I probably would want to play. But it is a time to, I think, even take a greater look at that system itself and how flawed it is. Because, you know, I don't think anybody should be disagreeing with the fact that something is not on the up and up if it is injecting all this money into the economy and the local economies in the states and the schools, and the people who are taking almost 100% of the risk are seeing none of that. And that's a real issue. And I do wonder if this is an event that really triggers us to never look at college sports the same. We'll see how they approach the fall. College football is next up, and Clemson has had a number, you know, almost I feel like in a majority of the Clemson program has tested positive for COVID at this point. Unfortunately, they've all been healthy and safe. 37 total positive tests there, I believe. And again, the reality is most people who are young and are fit and athletic are going to be fine from this thing. But that doesn't mean, you know, there shouldn't be an extra look taken at the way colleges are proceeding versus professionals. All right, let's go to Vernon in Atlanta. Vernon, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Vernon?
Hi, thanks, Robin, for letting us use your platform, and we appreciate you a lot. I'd just like to call in and talk about the topic that we were discussing as far as racism in America and the symbolism of the flag. I'd like a lot of people to do the research on the origin of that flag. The actual battle flag that he was talking of was the flag of the Army of Northern Virginia. It was never officially accepted as the Confederate flag, and it never actually represented the entire Southern United States' army. So if it's about Southern pride, they use it incorrectly to fight for the Confederate South. So that's just one thing. Secondly, the format that's used, where it's just the stars and bars and just the red and blue, is came around in the late 1900s, where it was in direct correlation to the upspring and the progress that blacks were making in the United States. So that's just that point. I'd like to make that out. So if we're talking about the Southern United States pride, they should fly other flags instead of the one in which they are flying now. There's a bloodstained flag that they used in 1865 in the South that represented the actual entire Confederacy, which would be more accurate if they were talking about Southern pride.
You know, I don't think they are, Vernon, right? Yeah, I mean, like, I let's be honest, they're not. And at this point in time, look, if you want to find something to represent your heritage or pride, fine, do it, whatever that may be. Again, I have roots from the South, too, but you know what it's about by now. Everybody knows what it's about by now. Everybody knows what the Confederacy stood for, what the Confederacy fought for, and what that flag represents to people. And if you're still arguing about it, again, I would say you're probably telling on yourself at this point.
Yeah, and I would like to move on to like a sports question, because I think some of the social questions, I think, won't be the conversations are be a little bit pointless unless people actually educate themselves on actual history. I think a lot of the schools have failed people in educating them about their true history, so a lot of people are coming from places that are misinformed. But my sports question is there any legal ramification if college players or if well, I guess they would be called amateur athletes in like football or basketball are forced to go back, they get sick and something would have happened to them. I understand that they might have like school insurance or whatever, but what if they might lose out on an opportunity to actually go pro because of long-term health conditions? Isn't that a little bit counterproductive to what we're trying to do? I understand they want to make money, get the economy going, but isn't that putting non-professional players at a greater risk than what they should have to be? And what would their legal ramifications be if they were to do shit?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to it, Vernon. And thank you for the call. It's one of the things that you have to deal with here. But look, the college system was broken regardless, right? We didn't need the coronavirus to know that you shouldn't, that when you were dealing with a multi-million, billion-dollar industry and the labor for that industry is not compensated, whether they, you know, it's done as the guise of student-athletes or not, or whether, you know, scholarships are given or whatnot, that's something that's been brought up, you know, the image and likeness bill that we saw pass in California. You know, the NBA G League having its program, the way that they're taking care of players. I mean, that has been a rising conversation, right? I mean, that was there before COVID, and it would be there, you know, if COVID never happened. But I do think in this particular moment, a point like that you brought up is a poignant one. Because even in the NBA, you had players fighting for insurance. They got some insurance from the league if they were to suffer an injury or an illness. They were given their individual choice whether they want to participate or not. And you're talking about a league where most people are compensated in millions of dollars. And in college, all of that money is going to the schools or going to the states or going to the coaches, and none of it is going to the players. And that's a real problem when the players are the ones taking on all the risk, even if their risk is relatively low considering their age group and their health status. So I do think there should be a difference in how we approach the return of college sports versus how we approach the return of professional sports. And you know, we'll see if that actually happens or not. College football is a big business. It's a big business, and these a lot of these places are going to want to get football going. But I do think that needs to be at least acknowledged in any return. You know, and what the school is doing, you know, should the football program differ than how the other students are functioning, if they're really students? All those things need to be addressed. And I think, you know, we need to treat the differences for what they are, if they really want to call them amateur athletes or just student athletes and not professionals. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. And maybe it is a moment to use to really address the fundamental problems with college sports. I'm not saying necessarily they shouldn't happen altogether or anything like that. I'm not making alarmist, bold, declarative takes. I'm just saying I have a difference in the standard that I would apply personally, and I feel differently about professional sports versus how I do about college sports.
He stayed up late and got up early. Here's Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I haven't been staying up as late during the pandemic, to be honest. You know, going to bed. And I'm happy the NBA schedule is latest games are 9 p.m. in the return. Something to celebrate. I've been celebrating the NBA. At least I tried to celebrate the return of the NBA earlier in the show. We got into some heavier topics, which is okay. We can't forget about those. But I was trying to celebrate before that we're going to have NBA all day from 1 o'clock in the afternoon with the latest tips being at 9 o'clock in the evening. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. I have a few more minutes with you here on this Saturday morning. Let's go to Tony in Atlanta. Tony, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Robin. Really appreciate you taking my call. Thanks so much.
You got it.
I just want to talk about, you know, kind of what everybody's been talking about in terms of NASCAR and the Confederate flag. I think this is an issue that largely about 98% to 99% of sane Americans can get behind. But I want to kind of bring up a larger point. You know, today, you know, it's the Confederate flag, and like I said, it's an issue that everyone can get behind. But I think we're getting ourselves into possibly a bit of a dangerous position, because today, while it may be the Confederate flag and it's an issue that everyone can get behind, what happens when tomorrow it's, let's say, a statue of Ulysses S. Grant, who by many accounts is, you know, a fantastic war general and was a fantastic president of the United States. And what happens when people say, well, let's take his statue down, or let's do this, or let's do that. You know, we gotta kind of remember, you know, what we're really fighting for, and not allow ourselves to have such tunnel vision to the point where we get lost in the fray in these kinds of things. And that's honestly kind of where I see this nation going. So, you know, I just kind of want to bring up the larger context of, you know, today, yeah, it's an issue that everyone can get behind, but what happens when it's, you know, a larger or a more divisive issue where reasonable Americans can truly differ on a subject, but, you know, then, you know, people will feel in a way that if they don't agree or if they do disagree, then they may not feel comfortable voicing their opinion or things of that nature. So,
Tony, I would say what happens, those, is when you have to have the conversations, right? I mean, there are some people that would tell you any statue of somebody who owned a slave should come down, right? And, which I think is a reasonable point of view. But let's start with where you began. There's the obvious one, right? There should be no argument for the Confederate flag. So we should take care, get rid of that, and move past that. And I think I understand the broader point you're trying to make, which is where the overall message gets co-opted into something it's not. Let's say the voice of the guy on Family Guy, the black character on Family Guy. I saw yesterday the voice actor there resigned, saying that only black or people of color should represent people of color in film and the like. And I would agree with that wholeheartedly in live action film, right? There's no reason for Scarlett Johansson to be cast as an Asian woman, right? Though I think a reasonable person could say maybe this is too far when you're talking about voice actors and the like. But then somebody could push back and say, hey, but that's denying voice actors, minority voice actors, an opportunity. But I think that's sort of an example of what you're talking about, where people could say, maybe this is, you know, not what people ask for when we're talking about police brutality. Like, let's address the police system. That's what people are trying to address. Stuff like that, the bigger institutional problem. So I think I understand the point you're trying to make. But as far as the Confederate flag itself, well, clearly that's a non-starter and should be summarily dismissed, and I appreciate the call. Let's go to David in Dallas. David, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, David?
Yes, Robin. Now, let me just tell you, I'm coming at this from a Southern white male's point of view. So people are probably going to say, oh, he's an old racist or whatever. I'm 35. I have a PhD. I'm educated, okay? So I grew up in a diverse world. My father served this country for 25 years in the U.S. Army. So I'm just going to give some background just real quick to give some context to what I'm about to say. To me, that Confederate flag, if NASCAR doesn't want to allow it at the race, that's fine. That's their business. However, this seems to be a larger thing where everybody wants to say, oh, you can't have the Confederate flag. You can't have this. Oh, let's tear down the statue because this guy did this. You know, that's like going with baseball in some ways and say, oh, well, you know, Ty Cobb was a racist. Let's take him out of the Hall of Fame. Well, this guy was this. Let's take him. I mean, at some point, we have to just say, okay, this is what it was. And that's it. To me, a statue of somebody who, you know, for whatever reason they had something wrong with them, it's not like we're out here, you know, like praying to him or, you know, having celebrations around
well,
him.
Well, yeah, I mean, David, again, I think these are discussions people can have, right? People can say, hey, wait a second, is this symbolic of the problems of America that we were honoring these guys in the first place? Maybe we need to reconsider that. And people who are tearing down the statues, I think some of them are doing that as a symbolic gesture to show that, right? But let's talk where you started your call when you said it's a Confederate flag. You can fly it if you want. Go ahead. Put it outside. Put it on your porch. Put it in your yard. Just understand what you are signaling to people. That's what I'm saying. Understand what you're signaling to people. And there's no nuance to that conversation, though. There's not. With the Confederate flag, there's no nuance. The Confederacy fought to uphold slavery. Full stop. So you are in support of slavery by putting that flag up.
Sir, there's a lot of people I know that are not in support of slavery to put that flag up because
then
they're
why did they put it up? Because that flag represented support. They might not be directly in support of slavery. They might not be out there going to themselves, I am in support of slavery. But that flag represents support of slavery. That flag represents racism. It just does.
So what if you're – so let me ask you this. So what if you're a European immigrant from the U.K. and you come over here and you see the American Revolutionary flag? So are we going to get rid of that? Because that can offend them.
What did that have to do? Were people owned his property then?
What I'm saying, though, is that if
but
you're
– No, you have to deal with reality. You can't use rhetorical tricks like that. No. Hold on. You can't use rhetorical tricks like that because it's not the same. It's a false equivalency. It's like when Mike Gundy was wearing the One America News shirt and somebody said, what if he's wearing a CNN shirt? It's not the same thing. All right, you could disagree. You could say, I hate CNN. I don't like CNN. I don't watch CNN. But you can't say that CNN is propagating the same sort of stuff that network is. It's a false equivalency. Just like saying, you know, if I find this offensive because I just decided to find it offensive is not the same thing for the very legitimate reasons that people find the Confederate flag offensive because of the history that the Confederate flag is literally rooted into because of the facts of the matter. So again, if you would like to fly it, fine. Do you. That's your right. It is your right to fly it. Just know what you're signaling to people and know what it represents. And no amount of rhetorical games, no amount of its heritage, no amount of I'm from the South and I'm, you know, just representing this aspect of it to me, whether it's yams or whatnot, no amount of that is going to change the fact that you must, at this point in time, know what that represents to people. So if you want to fly it, fly it. Just know what you're signaling to people. Thanks for the call. Let's go to do we have Jason in Iowa? Jason, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Good. So we got high school baseball and softball going live here in Iowa. I think we are one of probably the only state in the country allowing sports to be going on. And just some of the things that we're dealing with, I got a text message last night from my son's high school baseball team that we have to stop with practice and games because we had one of the student athletes that had a temperature at the last practice. So we've got to stop until he gets tested and the test results come back before we can start back up again. So, yeah, so I just think, you know, yeah, pro athletes, they can be tested every day, you know, but when you get to the college level, I mean, there's, you know, how many hundreds of athletes that if you got one institution that gets a kid that's got a fever and all of a sudden we got to test him and not do anything, that kind of gives an unfair advantage to maybe who they're going to play this coming weekend.
Well, again, yeah, I mean, I think these are all things you have to explore. Like I said before, I think there's a big difference, at least for me personally, in how I would treat amateur sports versus how I would treat professional sports in this regard, right? Professional sports, the athletes are sharing in that economic pie. College sports, they're not. You reference high school and Little League, and that's, you know, completely voluntary. It's a whole different class of category because they're not big business the way that college sports are big business, right? And that's where I have the issue with college sports. As far as the rest of that, we're sort of working it as we go. And I'll go back to what I said about Tom Brady. You know, Tom Brady posted that thing on Instagram. He said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Well, I agree with his sentiment, but we have to be careful with the messaging too. And you know, his sentiment that we shouldn't be hiding from this, I agree. Sports should come back. Life should go on. But you got to do it wisely, and we shouldn't be sending a message out that we are ignoring professionals, we're ignoring advice, we're not going to wear masks, any of that stuff, because that would go against doing it wisely. That would be returning recklessly. And it's a line we're going to have to all sort of balance, because these are uncharted waters. All right, time to get to every story I have not as of yet in another one.
It's time for another edition of Another One on the Robin Lundberg Show. The rumors, reports, and ridiculous from the week that was. Here's Robin Lundberg.
All right, Anthony, what's up first?
All right, so the NFL, they're anticipating the gathering of fans outside stadiums once the season starts. So the league is now considering allowing people to purchase tailgating spots in its stadium parking lots while attempting to maintain social distancing between cars. Good idea or a bad idea, Robin?
I mean, again, you know, it's the way we're all going to have to sort of see how this plays out. One thing I did not sign up for on the checklist of things I thought I needed in the toolbox to be a talk show host, you know, sports talk show host or beyond, really was, you know, infectious disease expertise. And I've learned a lot more than I thought I would have to know. I mean, people are going to try to figure out a way to engage fans. And the NBA is going to do it by pumping in video of fans, different camera angles. The NFL still hasn't completely ruled out the idea of fans being in the stands. So I think I have to see some of this stuff manifest before I can determine whether it's a good idea or a bad idea, because we're all in uncharted waters right now. So I'm open to ideas. I'm glad that there are ideas being shared. What's up next?
Another one.
Well, the San Francisco Giants have ruled that that no fans will be allowed at Oracle Park this year, and in their place, season ticket holders will be allowed to submit photos to be used as cardboard cutouts in the seats. Now, non-season ticket holders will have the opportunity to purchase a cutout of themselves for $99. Would you pay $99, Robin, to have a cardboard cutout in the seats?
Hell no.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't think I'd pay $99 to go. I don't know if there's a regular season baseball game I'd pay $99 to go see.
I hope they're donating this money to like some kind of charity. I've read a number of articles, and I hope they're not just going to pocket this money. $99 for a cardboard cutout?
It should be a donation, okay. Like, if it's going to a good cause, fine, you're right. But otherwise,
but I haven't seen that. It seems like they're just pocketing this money, the Giants.
They should be happy that you want yourself seen in these cardboard. What does that do for you? Your face is on TV. You can post a picture online. That seems ridiculous to me. What's up next?
Another one.
All right, finally, Elizabeth Banks. She's been cast as Miss Frizzle in the Magic School Bus live-action film. So what's an animated TV show that you'd like to see made into a live-action movie?
X-Men, the animated series. How about that? The redoing of X-Men. I'm trying to think of another one that would be a good live-action. Not gummy bears. What about Thundercats? Could they pull off Thundercats?
Thundercats?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles has been done.
Give me Futurama. I'm a big Futurama fan, and plus that one would be easier to explain the change in the medium, because if people don't know, they have a character, Professor Farnsworth. He's like this old senile professor, so that could, you know, they could have like an experiment go wrong, and that be the reason why the change.
There's been a lot of Peppa Pig on in my household lately. I don't know how that would translate, you know. But maybe some things are animated for a reason, and it works best in that medium. I appreciate you guys joining me. You can get the podcast. I'll be back next Saturday morning, as always. It's been the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's been with you here on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.